Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari
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 Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana
Yashoda Nandana
Jaya Yashoda Nandan Braja Jana Ranjan
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjan
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari 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 Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 20, Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, text number 19, sorry, chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, text 19. Sadadarsha vimanagriyam. Oh, that's fun. Okay. I knew there was a 20. So it's text 20. Tatranu deva pravarau chaturbhujau shamau kishorav arunam bujekshanau sitavavashtabhyagadam suvasasau kiritadharangada charukundadau tatranu deva pravarau chaturbhujau Shamau Kishorav Arunam Bujekshanau Sitava Vashtabhyagadam Suvasasau Kirita Harangada Charukundalau Tatranudeva Pravaral Chaturbhujau Shamau Kishorav Arunam Bujekshanau Sthitavavashtabhyagadam suvavasasau kiritaharangada charukundalau. Please try to read it once.
Tatrano deva pravarukaturpuja syamo kishurva Arunam Bhujekshanau Sthitav Avastavyagadam Suvasasau Kirita Harangadaka Charukundalau.
Thank you. Word for word equivalence. Tatra.
Tatra.
There.
There.
Anu.
Anu.
Then.
Then.
Deva Pravarao.
Deva Pravarao.
Two very beautiful demigods. Chaturbhujau.
Chaturbhujau.
With four arms.
With four arms.
Shamau.
Shamo.
Blackish.
Blackish.
Kishorao.
Kishorao.
Quite young.
Quite young.
Aruna.
Aruna.
Reddish.
Reddish.
Ambuja,
Ambuja,
lotus flower,
Ikshanau,
with eyes,
eyes.
Stitau,
Stitau,
situated,
situated.
Avashtabhya, holding,
holding.
Gadam,
Gadam,
clubs,
clubs.
Suvasasau,
Suvasasau,
with nice garments,
nice garments.
Kirita,
Kirita.
Helmets.
Helmets.
Ha, helmets.
Helmets.
Yeah. On the head.
Helmets.
Hara.
Hara.
Necklaces.
Necklaces.
Angada.
Angada.
Bracelets.
Bracelets.
Charu.
Charu.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Kundalau.
Kundalau.
With earrings.
With earrings.
Translation. Dhruva Maharaj saw two very beautiful associates of Lord Vishnu in the plain. They had four hands and a blackish bodily luster. They were very youthful, and their eyes were just like reddish lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands, and they were dressed in very attractive garments with helmets, and were decorated with necklaces, bracelets, and earrings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Savior of the whole world, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The inhabitants of Vishnu Loka are of the same bodily feature as Lord Vishnu, and they also hold club, conch shell, lotus flower, and disc. In this verse, it is distinctly stated that they had four hands and were nicely dressed. The description of their bodily decoration corresponds exactly to that of Vishnu. So the two uncommon personalities who descended from the airplane came directly from Vishnu Loka, or the planet where Lord Vishnu lives.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhovya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Tatranudeva, Pravaral Chatur Bujao. Shamao Kishorav Arunam Bhujekshanao Stithaba Vashtabhya Gadam Suvasasao Kirita Harangada Charu Kundalao. Dhruva Maharaj has just been greeted by two extraterrestrial inhabitants of Vishnuloka. Generally, when we hear the word extraterrestrial, we think of aliens and spaceships. Just like they had that movie E.T., the extraterrestrial. But this extraterrestrial means not from Earth. The Latin word for Earth is terra. So terrestrial means of Earth, and extraterrestrial means beyond Earth. This is Latin language. So, factually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extraterrestrial. The Vedas are extraterrestrial also. They're not from Earth. They're from beyond Earth. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the beginning of fourth chapter, says, Imam Vivasate Yogam Proktavana Hamavyayam Vivaswan Manave Praha Manur Ikshva Kave Bravid. The Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivaswan. And Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. So this Bhagavad Gita was spoken to the sun god. That means it's extraterrestrial. When Krishna says he's speaking to the sun god, it's understood that that was not happening on Earth, because the sun god does not come to Earth. Krishna went to the sun planet and spoke Bhagavad Gita. Then he, in turn, spoke it to his son. And in that way, through disciplic succession, came to Earth Bhagavad Gita. So these Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, who are speaking in today's verse of Srimad Bhagavatam to Dhruva Maharaj, are coming directly from Vishnu Loka. Therefore, they have four hands, they have blackish bodily luster. They're holding the conch, disc, club, and lotus. And they're flying on airplanes. The modern idea that prior to the Industrial Revolution there were no airplanes is counteracted by this verse, this passage of verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And throughout many Puranas and other Vedic literature, there are accounts of Vimanas, Pushpa Vimana, mantra-powered airplanes. These airplanes are not like the common airplanes we have today also, because in today's airplane you have to sit in one place, and it becomes uncomfortable. You can't use any... There's so many restrictions on today's airplanes. You have to buckle in everything, and it becomes uncomfortable, especially if you're going to India. Long flight, 18-hour flight. But these Vimanas were actually like a city. They had rivers, lakes, gardens, animals, trees. It was a flying city. The Vimana is so advanced. And you didn't need petrol for the Vimana. It's mantra powered. It flies on the power of Brahma Tejas. So, the point is that things were more advanced in Vedic culture than today. This also disagrees with another nonsense proposal that things have evolved from simple to more complex forms over time in gradual steps. This is the idea which was popularized by Darwin. This is not agreed with in the Vedic literature. So, Dhruva Maharaj had ruled the kingdom for 36,000 years. After completing his service as king, he retired. In the beginning of his life as a small boy, Dhruva went to the forest and performed yoga. He then got the benediction that he would rule the kingdom on earth for 36,000 years, peacefully, and then go back to Godhead. So after he completed his kingdom, his responsibilities as a king, he again went to the forest, just as when he was a small boy, and again practiced his devotional service with full concentration. No distraction. The mode of a renunciate. Actually, even as a king, Dhruva was a pure devotee. It's not that working a job is a disqualification for bhakti or a distraction for bhakti. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat jahoshi datasya yat tapasyasi kamteya tat purushva madarpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, whatever sacrifices and austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So the only reason why in the beginning and in the end of devotional service we are recommended to give up this work is because the body is no longer able to do the work. An old man cannot work like the young man can work. Therefore, naturally, he sits down and chants Hare Krishna in a renounced way. He doesn't have to eat so much anymore because he's old. The old cold body doesn't require so much food. It doesn't require so much sleep. But bhakti itself doesn't require that you would give up working. There is a natural sequence of life. In the beginning, the child also can't work. So he was brahmachari. And he can remain brahmachari throughout his life. That's first class. That's wonderful. But that's very rare. From 5 years old, remaining brahmachari the whole life is very rare. First of all, to see even 1 5-year-old brahmachari is very rare in this age of Kali. What to speak of one who remains naishtika brahmachari. So generally at age 25 in Vedic culture, the standard was that you can choose, do I want to be married or do I want to remain brahmachari? So then the grihastha, if he chooses grihastha ashram, he works because now he has a body which is capable, he has a mind which is capable of working. And he does that as an offering to Krishna, Mararpanam, as we discussed in this verse, which I just quoted. That is just as good as the sacrifices and yajnas which are performed by the brahmachari. In the same chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, which we looked at, with reference to the sun god hearing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna discusses sacrifices. He says in text 25 or 26, some, the unadulterated brahmachari, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. And others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to understand in to advance in transcendental knowledge. Still others who are inclined to the process of breath restraint remain in trance, practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming, and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus, at last, remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others curtail the eating process. Others curtailing the eating process offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. And finally, Krishna says, all these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of all sinful reactions. And having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, they advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. So the point is that sacrifice isn't stereotyped, that you need a yajna kund and sand with the proper colorful design, you need the sticks of the right kind of wood, you need the ghee and the grains and the brahmanas to chant the mantras. No, Bhagavad Gita gives a very broad description of sacrifice, which includes all kinds of activities of various varnas and ashrams. Brahmachari has his own sacrifice, Grihastha has his own sacrifice, Yogi has his own sacrifice. But if one knows the meaning of sacrifice, that by our sacrifice Krishna is to be satisfied, then his sacrifice is perfect, regardless of what form that sacrifice may take. So Dhruva Maharaj was a perfect sacrificer his whole life. As a 5-year-old, he was a perfect sacrificer because he went to the forest and did yoga. As a grown man, he was a perfect sacrificer by doing his kingly service and at the same time remaining a pure devotee of Krishna. And as an older man, he's sacrificing everything in another way. But in any case, his whole life was an act of sacrifice. how a devotee should live. At every minute, we should be striving to sacrifice for the Lord. There's no hindrance. Anything can be used in the service of the Lord, but we have to use it in the Lord's service. How to do that depends on our time, place, and situation, and we get guidance from the spiritual master whenever we don't know how to do it. We have to ask. That's our duty. We have to ask if we don't know. We're not allowed to keep any doubts in the mind. Those have to go. Arjuna said to Krishna in first or second chapter, Madhusudana. Yes. He calls Krishna Madhusudana, because Krishna killed the demon named Madhu. And in the same way as Krishna killed that Madhu demon, Arjuna wanted Krishna to kill the demon of doubts in his own heart. Arjuna could directly speak to Krishna because he's so exalted. And because we're not so exalted to see Krishna directly, Krishna mercifully expands in his external manifestation as the spiritual master, Sakshad Hari, the Shaktyavesh avatar. He gives us full and complete information because he's only repeating the words of Krishna. No difference. Sometimes they have this game, Chinese telephone, where kids sit in a circle, one boy says a sentence to the person next to him, then that person tries to say the same sentence, and by the time it goes through 20 children and gets back to the first boy, the sentence has changed somewhat. That's called Chinese telephone. And people argue that that same thing happens in parampara, and that therefore parampara is not reliable, because in time, the message changes. But this argument is not applicable because Guru Parampara is not a bunch of nonsense children who can't remember. No, they're qualified. Vachavegam, Manasakrodavegam, Jivavegam, Udarapashtavegam, Itadvegam, Yogitahetadira. Vishahetadira, they're dira. The spiritual master is sober because he can control the pushings of tongue, belly, and genitals, as well as the pushings of anger, mind, and speech. He has control over these six things. Therefore, he's sober, and he's qualified to make disciples all over the world. Therefore, we learn to sacrifice whatever we're doing by approaching the spiritual master. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. Krishna says, same chapter, chapter 4. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service to him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he's seen the truth. Another point in today's verse is the beauty of the Lord, and of the Lord's, specifically, the beauty of the Lord's the messengers, these Vishnu Dutas. They have achieved a state of perfection, which is called Sarupya Siddhi. They are having the equal bodily appearance with Lord Vishnu. They look the same as Lord Vishnu. They have the same outfit, the same forearms, everything. The Lord is described by the great Vedic authority Parasara Muni. He defines who is Bhagavan, who is God, by, if you look at the word Bhagavan, break it down into two phonemes, Bhaga and Van. Bhaga means opulence, and Van means one who possesses. So Bhagavan is one who has all six opulences in full. There are six types of opulences: strength, beauty, knowledge, fame, wealth, and renunciation. One who has complete, who has unlimited amount of all of these six opulences is God. He's Bhagavan. He has no limitation of strength, beauty, knowledge, fame, wealth, or renunciation. This verse today is focusing on the beauty of the Lord. In the material world, if someone wears a beautiful necklace, that necklace makes the person look beautiful. Right?
Not the person.
Yeah. You know already.
No, I'm just guessing.
What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, you said that the necklace makes the person beautiful.
Yeah.
Not the person, actually. Everyone
yeah.
admires that necklace.
Correct.
But the person thinks that everyone admires him.
Yeah. And that's a fact. When you put on the beautiful necklace and the beautiful rings, the person looks beautiful also. But as a result of the jewelry, that's the purpose of it all, to make the person look beautiful. Otherwise, you could just sit the rings down and people would look at the rings. But no, when the ring goes on the person's finger, the person looks beautiful. But Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his pure devotees are such that when they wear the necklace, they make the necklace look beautiful.
Oh.
Because they are so transcendentally beautiful. So that's a specific qualification of the Lord, that his beauty is such that he beautifies the ornaments which decorate him. These six opulences, strength, beauty, knowledge, wealth, fame, and renunciation, naturally are attractive to us. If the world's strongest man walked in the door, naturally we would want to see, right? Wow. Beauty, the world's most beautiful person walks in, naturally we have to see. You can't ignore it, because it's an opulence. Knowledge. Stephen Hawking rolls in here on his wheelchair. Oh, here's Stephen Hawking. We have to pay attention to him. Wealth. Bill Gates walks in. He's also a very wealthy man. So clearly we want to see Bill Gates. Fame. Whoever's famous these days, he walks in. We want to see his celebrity. And renunciation, a sadhu, very simple, humble sadhu comes in. Naturally, he commands respect and attention. Now, these are all material examples, but those qualities are there in complete fullness in the Lord. He's the most strong, the most beautiful, the most wealthy. He owns everything. He owns all the money. Fame. He's the most famous, the most knowledgeable. Most renounced also. Because even with all those opulences, he serves his pure devotee. Anyway, he owns everything. Why is he doing service? Because he's renounced. Out of love, he serves his pure devotee. Bhaktivatsal, Krishna's Bhaktivatsal. He becomes the surrendered servant of his own servant. That means that a pure devotee has access to unlimited amount of strength, beauty, knowledge, wealth, fame, and renunciation. He doesn't need to go slumming in the material world just for these things. Krishna will provide whatever this devotee needs for his service. sometimes we, the problem is that sometimes we think we need something that we don't need. We have to let Krishna decide what we need. Basically, it's very simple. All we have to do is surrender to Krishna, and he gives us challenges so that we can work through them and get purified and go back to Godhead. It's not that Krishna makes life easy in the material world. No, he sets things up for us so that we can work through it in a mood of humble service to him, get purified, and go back to Godhead. And naturally, persons who see that we're getting purified, when we become purified of our anarthas, our lust, our greed, our anger, our pride, all those qualities, being prideless, being satisfied, being peaceful, are attractive to other people also. So not only are we going back to Godhead by the process of surrendering to the spiritual master, but other people will be attracted by our peacefulness, our happiness. And they'll also want to go back to God. They'll also want to be like that person. We see so many people saw Srila Prabhupada, and they just wanted to be like him. Naturally. This is the power of a devotee. He attracts people to Krishna by his example. Meaning of an acharya. Do you have some questions or comments?
So like what I understood is it's a continuous process, like lifelong lifelong process, continuous learning and implementing, and like this is a bhakti education kind of thing. That's what I understood. The reading power and this kind of continuous learning. Each and everything, it has some meaning in that. Right? Like, what you are trying to say.
That's true.
So even though like one becomes a devotee or still like he has to go very long time till he reaches that God. I mean, he has to go through the education. Implementing and the process keep on continuing.
It all depends on Krishna's choice. We surrender to Krishna and he can do with us as he likes if we surrender. Surrender is a very deep thing though. We have to begin the process of surrender now, and it's a gradual process. But the essence is having no desire for sense gratification, no desire for fruitive results, and no desire for speculative knowledge. Just bhakti. Whether it's rainy or sunny outside, I just want to serve Krishna. Doesn't matter.
Process continues in the morning, Mangalati. Guru Puja, Bhagavatam class, you mean what I mean? Whatever the weather may be, or whatever.
And when I go to work also.
You're going for
work? No, but point is that it's not just that there's bhakti in the morning and bhakti at night, and then throughout the day, whatever.
No.
I said working because I was trying to relate with your situation, or with the situation of most people who go to work during the day. That is also meant to be bhakti. I also do work, but not for money. And I don't work at a corporate job, but I do work in the temple. That's also work. I'm cooking, cleaning, distributing books. This is all work. And it's meant to be done for Krishna. So
distributing books is a major distributing books. I read in one of the magazines. Prabhupada said, like, distributing books is like one of the
very important. Everything is very important if done with love for Krishna, because it leads you to go back home, back to God.
Not thinking like okay, like being in material and also coming to temple, like that is possible, like being in material life and also like doing devotional services, like say like having a family outside and like coming to temple regularly, so that they can balance and improve the devotion.
Yes, so that's why we need spiritual master. Say, Guru Maharaj, I have this situation. How do I practice devotional service now? And he tells you without a doubt. We have to make sure every doubt in the heart is gone. That's not allowed to stay there. They're demons. The demons of doubt. That's why Arjuna called Krishna Madhusudana. Arjuna was a family man. He never became a sadhu. He is a sadhu, but he never became a sannyasi.
You said about Krishna will give challenges, right? Because I even know some of my friends, like in India, like they went for Tirupati. Well, they are going to, they are very devotee of Lord Vishnu. And they go for Tirupati often. When they are going, they met with an accident. So some of their family people were died, who were the devotee of Tirupati. Then after that, they stopped worshipping Lord. So like, this kind of things, like, I don't know like whether they are properly there under the spiritual posture or meditation, but like sometimes like very worshipping Lord and the Lord gives some challenges and they are quitting the process.
That's why we need Guru. Everyone will die in this material world. Isn't it so? So that's not something to be attached to. Dehino smenyata dehe komaram yoganam jura tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. If we want to be sober, dhira, we don't want to be muhyati, bewildered, so that we give up our devotional service. And we have to understand this point, that from boyhood to youth to old age, we've already traveled in different bodies. When you were born, show me with your hands how big your body was. Show me with your hands roughly how big your body was. Yeah, like that, right? Where's that body today in 2012? No, it's gone. That body's history. Actually, it's not. We think it's growing, but it's actually the cells are destroyed, and they're new cells. Even the modern scientists, many of them will agree. Every 7 years, you have a new body. They say every 7 years, you have a new body. Because all the cells have destroyed and rejuvenated new cells. Not that the cells are getting bigger. No, they're just, the cells are breaking down. 80% of the dust in our house is dead skin. I know it's nasty, but that's how it is. 80% of the dust in our house is dead skin, which has flaked off and blown into the room. Yeah. That's why you get a scab and it disappears one day.
It's dying.
It's matter. When the soul leaves the body, it just rots. So that process is slowed down by the soul being there, but eventually it will rot. So as the baby body is gone now, and the baby mind, which would put anything and everything into the mouth, is also gone. The mind has also changed. So Krishna says in the, why don't you open to chapter 2, text 13. 2:13. You're in chapter 4 now, so you need to go back. You see where it says the chapter number?
Yes.
Look up 2:13. And just read the translation.
As the embodied soul.
Sorry, this is a really important word. The embodied.
Embodied.
It means it's in a body.
Soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. The soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change.
Yes. So we have to understand that just as in this body, we've had a baby body, we've had a young body, we're now having this young man body. And we may also end up with an old man body if we don't die first, if the body doesn't die first. But we have traveled through these different bodies, but we're still the same person, even though the body is different.
One question, what if the soul doesn't remember that one after death or before we are born?
There's a couple of reasons. When you were 1 year old, do you remember anything?
No.
So then why should you remember something before that also? If you can't even remember that far, why should you remember farther? Right? I can't remember being 1 year old, so why should I remember 300 years ago? That's one thing. That's a very logical argument. I can't even remember 28 years ago. Why should I remember 300 years ago? Okay. Second thing is, that's Krishna's mercy. We should be glad that we don't remember all of our past lives, because we had so many tragedies. We'd go crazy if we remembered all the misery we went through. Have you ever seen a baby be born? Being born. Birth. Have you ever seen that?
No, I didn't.
It's disturbing. You know what the baby does immediately? What's the first thing every baby does when he comes out?
Right.
Crying, because it's miserable. It's absolutely miserable. They're inside the body, they're being bitten by tiny microorganisms. They're surrounded by foul-smelling liquids like blood, pus, urine, and stool. Yeah, it's nasty in there. It's really gross. That's why they wash the baby when he comes out. Otherwise, if they left that on, it would be so disgusting, no one would want to hold the baby. Would you hold the baby before it gets washed? Yeah, naturally. So birth is a disturbance. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukho Doshan Darshanam, that we need to have recognition of the fact that Janma, birth, Mrityu, death, Jara, old age, and Vyadi, disease, are Dukho. They're miserable. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukho Darshan Darshanam. We need to see that so that we can get out of this material world, so we don't have to take birth. Because anyone who takes birth, he's going to get old, and he's going to die, and he's going to get sick. Okay, so when we're born, we had a baby body. That body's gone.
Boyhood.
Then we had a Then we had boyhood body. That body's also gone, but I'm still me. I remember when I was 5 years old, I was jumping like crazy everywhere. But if I jump like that now, I'll be out of breath. But the 5 year old can jump all day, and when I'm 80, I won't be able to jump. Prabhupada jumped during kirtan sometimes, but that's another thing. Generally, it's not possible. But I'm still that person. So that means I'm not the body. That's the point. We are not the body. The body is changing, but we are in the body. like the car. The body is like a car. Sometimes we also think I'm my car. People go so far, though. If you run out of, if your car runs out of gas, you say, I ran out of gas. Does that mean you drink some gas and then you can drive again? No, my car ran out of gas. Or I get in a car accident. Boom, I hit somebody. They say, you hit me. No, I didn't hit you. I hit your car. Right? My car hit your car. I didn't hit you. My car hit your car. But we're thinking I'm this car. In the same way, we're not this body. So Krishna puts us through situations which challenge our conception that I am this body. He wants us to realize that I'm the eternal soul in the body. There's no hope for me to have a comfortable, happy situation in this material world because it's dukkhalyam ashashvatam. This world is temporary. It's miserable, dukkhalyam. And even if we become satisfied with the miserable condition of this world, it's a shashvatam. It's temporary. And it will be ripped away from us even if we're satisfied with it at the point of death. So we have to be... the point is that Krishna is going to he's going to train us to be detached from this material body and this material world so that we can be attached to the spiritual world and the spiritual body, which is reality. Do you have any other questions or comments?
If all the people are not getting attracted, even though like, we know that, our soul is coming, we are all the parts and parcel of God, and when we see this, Prabhupada, and making some devotees to temple or like hearing Bhagavad Gita class and giving them the books, like most of the people are not getting attracted.
No, that's it. Most people are not getting the books. Most people are not getting invited. We're not preaching enough. That's the problem.
It's a problem with us.
We're not preaching. We're not going out and giving out books. We're just sitting in the temple getting fat on chapatis.
Like
we preach, then people would have. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When in India, I took my parents to my temple. And they attended a couple of times. My relatives even like, but they are not really attached to that.
Because they don't know. They don't know what they're experiencing. They need to be educated.
So it's our duty.
They're thinking that I'm Krishna. Thinking everyone is the God.
They're thinking when the good things are happening, then God is there.
That's another thing.
Because they pray to the demigods or something like that.
Yeah,
they want.
It's all the same. Everything is one. Okay. They're thinking that. But it's just a misunderstanding. ISKCON is meant for education. Theoretically and practically. Okay. There's just no more time. We're over time. That's why I'm cutting it off now. Grothraj Srimad Bhagavatam.